Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program of Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs. Hi, this is Ricky Chapman with New Horizons. This week we've got a real treat for you. A good friend of ours has just launched her brand new album, and she is, of course, a member of the BCA board as well. This week, Steve Richardson is going to talk to Emma Bennison just following her album launch, or might have even been at the album launch itself. So have a listen to this. This is fantastic.
Thanks for your time, Emma.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So tell us a bit about the inspiration behind this album.
Well, I guess I started writing songs after a bit of a hiatus, I suppose. Back in 2012, when I moved to Hobart, I decided that it was time to start writing again. And at the same time, I had a few advocacy challenges. Mm. In fact, the song that really got it off the ground was one in relation to the closure of the Vision Australia Disability Enterprises, which I shared with the affected employees. And they were so encouraging that I thought, well, perhaps I'd better keep writing. So I did. And the theme that ended up emerging was in relation to walking the fine line, because I always feel like I'm doing some sort of bizarre balancing act between being a working parent and a CEO and an advocate and a sister and a mother and all the things that one does.
Yeah,
so that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, because listening to some of the tracks, I mean, there's certainly a couple of quite powerful themes running through the album, things like frustrations of not having a voice, of not being heard or not being listened to, and having to deal with the stereotypes in tracks like He's Not Human, which is a reflection of the stereotypes that those of us with disabilities face every day sometimes.
Yeah, I applied for some funding to do the album and I received funding through the Australia Council. And when I started to think about why was I moved to do this, I guess I realised that I really wanted to bring those messages to the fore in a way that didn't preach to people, but in a way that was very powerful and in a way that would enable people who might not normally even approach a person with disability on the street because they're too frightened to actually listen to these songs and learn something in a very safe environment, I suppose. And I just feel like I want to hear more of these sorts of songs on the radio. Like, I never hear songs about people with disability. I don't hear a lot of songs about advocacy on the radio in any form. So I was quite driven to do that. And the other thing, I guess, was I was very driven to make the album accessible as well.
There was a time and place when the protest song was everything, and we were protesting about the environment, or we were protesting about the injustice of something going on. Look at all the power that came out of USA for Africa and Band-Aid and things like that. So it is an important thing that we seem to be moving away from that. We seem to be shallowing as a group of people. And it's good to have stuff on the radio that's light and you don't have to think about it, but it's also music and songwriting is a great way to get a message across in a way that doesn't necessarily have to preach or annoy people.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I have, I guess, been very careful to sort of hopefully keep the balance right between some of those more serious songs, and there are some lighter songs. He's Not Human is a sort of funny take on the strange questions that people ask about guide dogs and whether they can tell when the traffic lights are changing or whatever. And, you know, I've got a love song in there as well. And so there's a bit of a, hopefully, a balance there so that it's not all kind of serious and doom and gloom. So,
would you say that the process of writing these songs and then putting this album together was therapeutic? Do you think you were able to release some of this frustration that you might have been experiencing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that wasn't my overwhelming intention for doing it. I guess my initial thinking was I've always written songs that I thought people would like and I thought people would want to hear. And I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to try writing what I actually would like to hear and to see what happens. And it was quite extraordinary when I started to work towards that discipline of trying to write at least one song every week and doing that, where that I kind of started to realise that actually, yes, it was quite cathartic on a whole range of levels. I mean, not only because it made me feel like I'd got some messages out there, but also because I could see that it was useful for other people to hear some of those messages as well. So it was quite an exciting process. And then to go into the studio and have the experience of other instrumentalists and the co-producer that I worked with, Michael Shelley, bring their ideas into the mix. It was just a fantastic experience of building and layering and giving birth to something much bigger than I had ever imagined when I was sitting at the piano. So,
yeah, because it's often a challenge, I think, when you look at your own work and then someone else looks at it, and then there's, once again, a balancing act between trying to keep true to yourself and what you had intended for the album, but then also saying, hey, that's a different way of looking at this that I didn't have before, and maybe it might actually work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people in the studio came up with some awesome ideas that I'd never considered, so it was really exciting.
So where did you record this album?
I recorded it at the Green Room Studio in Hobart, which was great. I really enjoyed it. Got to work with some really great musicians. And I guess that was another multifaceted reason for wanting to do this. One of them was to start to build up a network in Hobart because, as I mentioned before, I moved there in 2012 and I travel a lot for my work. And so it's quite difficult to build musical connections. So this was a great opportunity to start to do that.
I noticed that there was a very strong piano feel throughout the whole of this album. Can you tell us a bit about how you put that together and what sort of techniques you used? Were you using a digital piano or an acoustic one?
It was a digital one, unfortunately.
It was a nice one, though.
But it was a nice one. And we used a range of different piano sounds, and sometimes we mixed some piano sounds together to try and get a more unique sound. For example, in Kept It Real, which is the love song I mentioned earlier. And it was really interesting to sort of just play around with that a little bit and try and find new and different sounds. And we used a bit of organ and things like that as well. So it was lots of fun to just experiment.
This is not your first work. I know that you have another album.
Yes.
My question is, between that time and this, you think as a musician and a songwriter and a singer that you've grown?
Yes.
Do you think this has been a,
I hope so.
This second album, do you think it's a progression and that your songwriting is much more mature?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's that, what I was saying before about me making a decision to write what I wanted to hear rather than what I thought other people wanted to hear, I think it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made. And not only for me, but for the end listener, because I hope, and I've certainly got feedback from others to the effect that the songs are much more real, they're much more realised, and they're much more honest, I think.
So the album was launched in Brisbane on the 26th of June, so it's now available. Where can people purchase it and support what you've done here?
People can find out more about the album, and including getting access to an audio description of the cover art and a reading of the booklet that accompanies the CD at www.emmabennisonmusic.com. Also, there you can find out how to buy it. It's available on iTunes and Google Play and all the major digital stores, and there are links to those on the website. But you can also purchase a hard copy CD as well, and there's information about how to do that on the website. But if people don't have access to the internet for any reason and they need a version of the cover notes and the audio description files posted to them on a memory stick, I'm also happy to do that. And people can just give me a call on 0410553383.
All right. How much is the cost of the album?
For the CD version, it's $25. And for the digital version, it depends on the store. I think it's $16.99 on iTunes and slightly cheaper, I think, on Google Play. But that's not my decision.
No,
I'm at the mercy of the stores. But yeah, that's how it works.
I've listened to this album too, and I love it. And I wish you all the very best of luck. And I hope you don't mind if we play a track.
Not at all. Thanks, Steve.
I've been speaking with Hobart-based singer-songwriter Emma Bennison, and she recently came back to her hometown of Brisbane to launch her new album, Fine Line. You can find out more by going to www.emmabennisonmusic.com. If you wish to speak with Emma, you can phone her on 0410 553383. Track number one on the album is called Monsters, and that's what we're going to hear right now.
You've been lurking in the shadows. I thought you might come out, but you were scared, you were scared, you were scared of what you'd see. You were scared, you were scared, you were scared of what you'd be. 'Cause there are monsters out there that you don't know. There are There are monsters out there that you can't see. Can you hear them roaring in the night? Can you hear them calling out your name? 'Cause the words they say will haunt you out of fear. It will taunt you. Well, the words they say will haunt you all your days. I thought you were getting stronger. I thought you could beat them down. But you are broken, you are battered, you are shattered by the fear. You are broken, you are battered, you are shattered when they're near. There are monsters out there that you don't know. There are monsters out there that you can't see. Can you hear them roaring in the night? Or can you hear them calling out your name? 'Cause the words they say will haunt you, and fear, it will taunt you. All the words they say will haunt you all your days. When will you, when will you, when will you stop listening? Oh, when will you stop listening to every word they say? Oh, when will you, when will you, when will you make them go away?
The angelic voice there of Emma Benison. And we certainly wish Emma the best of luck with her album. Well, that's it for this week's edition of New Horizons. Stay tuned next week as I interview Paula Hobley about her PhD research. That should be a very interesting show. Until then, stay safe and keep listening as we explore issues that affect people who are blind or vision impaired. Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social and Community Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247-251 Flinders Lane, Melbourne 3000. Our national office contact number is 03-9654-1400 or toll free 1-800-033-660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au.